Today, we're going to be in Lesson 3 of Ecclesiastes. We'll be looking at Chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. The preacher, King Solomon, has previously searched for the meaning of life by looking at the cycles of life and determining that nothing changes. And then, kind of as a historian, determining that generation after generation, there's really nothing new, he now switches to that of a philosopher, telling us how he went about searching for the answer to the problem that vexed him so much. Solomon tells how in the laboratory of his own life and his striving for wisdom, pleasure, and great works, how he sought to find the meaning to life. So in the verses today, we first look at wisdom. And let's just read verses 12 through 15. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So he repeats what he had said in verse 1. Then he says, I set my heart to seek and search out my wisdom, by wisdom, concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. Solomon was internationally famous for his wisdom. If the answers to the seeming emptiness of life could be found by wisdom, Solomon was the one who could find them. Well, Solomon's great wisdom was a gift of God. When God offered him whatever he pleased, he asked for wisdom, especially the wisdom to lead his people. Therefore, God made Solomon so wise that he wrote all those proverbs that we've talked about in the past, and he was considered to be wiser than all men of his day. Just read 1 Kings chapters 3 and 4. But in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, it says, And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. And then a few verses down in verse 34, it says, And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So this was a guy that knew wisdom. And he was famous for it. Now in verse 13, when he says, I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that's under the sun. What he's saying here is that Solomon looked for answers in wisdom, but it's human wisdom that excluded answers in light of eternity because it's wisdom under the sun. And he says, then to all that is done under heaven, instead of under the sun. It's the same thing here. In other words, he's not now considering God's heaven. He's considering under the sun. He's talking about, you know, the night and the day skies, if you will. What's right above us. This is another way, again, of saying under the sun. The Hebrew words for seek and search here are emphatic. They indicate serious, unrelenting search. All man's work, accomplishment, and searching for wisdom seems to amount to nothing. This is the wisdom of those who guide us to a better life in the here and now. How to live a healthier, happier, more prosperous life. There are a lot of those people out there. This wisdom certainly has value, and many lives would be better for following some of it. Yet, if it excludes a true appreciation of eternity, and our responsibilities in the world to come, as well as our responsibilities in the world now from an eternal perspective, this wisdom has no true answer to the meaninglessness of life. It only shows us how to live our meaningless lives better. Now, in verse 13, we see, he says, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. The seeming futility of life comes from God. He's given it to man. God has deliberately built a system where life seems meaningless and vanity without the understanding of a living, active God to whom we must give account. Here's what I'm trying to say. It may seem cruel of God to devise a system such as this for man, but it's evidence of his great love and his mercy. He built within us, in other words, the desire and the need for that which brings meaning and fulfillment to life. It was Augustine who said something that you hear quoted often: the Creator made a God-shaped space in each of us, which can only be filled with him. At the same time, this is a burdensome task to try and find this meaning. It isn't always easy to find these answers because, first of all, of our humanness, our pride, our self-reliance, and our self-love work against finding them. Then he says in verse 15, what's crooked can't be made straight, and what's lacking can't be numbered. In other words, what's wrong can't be righted. It's water over the dam. If there's no use in thinking about what might have been, it will only bring despair. So he despairs of straightening out the world's problems or even counting them. So the preacher's initial search for answers in wisdom under the sun brought him despair. To make this personal, do you ever look at the world in which we live now? Think, oh my goodness, things are spiraling out of control. Wrong is considered right, right is considered wrong, evil is everywhere, and do you begin to despair? Well, as my pastor said recently, if we view things through the lens of CNN and Fox News, we will despair. That's the human perspective. We need to view everything through the lens of God's word, and we will not despair, but we have to look at everything from God's perspective, an eternal perspective, not a human perspective. These things should not surprise us that are going on all around us now because the hour is late. Then in verses 16 and 17, he ends. No, 16 through 18. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is all grasping for wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. It's natural for anyone who looks for answers under the sun, apart from internal perspective, to look inward for wisdom and answers instead of to God, who rules eternity. In closing, what do we want to take away from this today? For some people, life may be monotonous and meaningless, but it doesn't have to be that way. For the Christian believer, life's an open door, not a closed circle. There are daily experiences of new blessings from the Lord. There are new seasons in our walk with him. True, we can't explain everything, but life is not built on explanations. It's built on promises, and we have plenty of promises in God's word. The scientist tells us that the world is a closed system and nothing has changed. The historian tells us that life is a closed book and nothing new. The philosopher tells us that life is a deep problem and nothing is understood. But Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24 tells us, and he has miraculously broken into history to bring new life to all who trust him. If you're living in circles and life is meaningless and empty, then turn your life over to him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for your sin, and you shall be saved. Live for the one who gives abundant, meaningful life to those who follow after him. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.